You can take your Bibles and go to Zechariah chapter 14 before the book of Malachi. And we're going to continue on our series, Attributes of the Millennial Kingdom. In the first part of this series, we saw from the scriptures that Jesus Christ will set up his capital in Jerusalem when he comes back to the earth after the battle of Armageddon is fought. And it was from Jerusalem he will begin to reign here on the earth with his saints. We also saw that Zion is where Jerusalem was built and sometimes is interchangeably called Jerusalem. Now, whether it's speaking of Zion the mountain or Zion Jerusalem or the city of David, etc., you would have to determine by the context of the scripture. We learned that Jesus would be a righteous judge, and he would judge among the nations of the world. And we also saw, especially with regards to the period of time that we're involved in now in our country with all these elections and this political games that people are playing with who's good cop, bad cop, that the government of Jesus Christ and the government that Jesus Christ will bring will be an honest government and it will be a godly government. We won't have to be concerned about Jesus being in office and abusing his office or abusing his powers. We won't have to be concerned about the men and women that Jesus delegates authority to abusing their powers or being in office for gain or for what they can get out of the country and squeezing the country. It, for the first time in the history of mankind, perhaps, it will be an ongoing, honest, godly government in where Jesus will be ruling on this earth. Jesus will be untouchable. And he will be impervious to bribery and corruption in his administration. His administration will be one that is true and just. And that is hard put to say that you could find a political administration or any type of governmental administration in our day and time that doesn't have some shade of corruption or doubt of dispersions cast on it. We also saw that all the wars will stop and men will not train for war anymore. And then I made a statement that I didn't think that the government of Jesus would come to pass overnight. That's the statement that I made. I believe that the kingdom government will take time to implement and time to enforce, and some countries will not conform to Jesus Christ's government or his administration immediately. In Zechariah chapter 14, that's where you're at. I'm going to read this to you out of the New Living Translation, followed by the New International Version. Zechariah 14, verse 17, speaking of that time in the millennial kingdom. And any nation anywhere in the world that refuses to come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, will have no reign. Will have no reign. And the New International translates verse 18 as, if the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no reign. The Lord will bring upon them the plague he infects on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles will be celebrated every year during the millennial reign. And it will be the responsibility of the nations of the world to come to partake in the Feast of Tabernacles. However, if there is a nation in the world that refuses to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, that refuses to come up and worship the Lord, that refuses to come to Jerusalem and submit to the administration, the authority, and the government of Messiah, then that country, nation, and people will have no reign. Will have no reign. You see, the millennial kingdom will be populated by three types of people. First, in the millennial kingdom, there will be believers living on this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ who have been gathered together and come back with him to fight the battle of Armageddon. That will be the first group of people that will be here populating the earth at that point in time in the millennial kingdom. The second group of peoples that will be here will be the Jews and the Gentiles who have died before the day of the church that we belong to now, the day of Pentecost. And those who have died during the tribulation period, once the church is gathered, and that 7 years goes on, those people that die there, those particular people will be resurrected and become immortal at the first resurrection, which occurs after the Battle of Armageddon. People like Abraham, Sarah, David, Ruth, etc., will be living here. Also, the believers who were murdered during the tribulation for refusing to worship the beast will be part of that millennial kingdom. They will be part of the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just. The third group of people that would be populating the earth at that particular point in time will be the natural or the mortal people who survive the tribulation. These people will continue to live their life out the same way as you and I live our life out now. They will be born, they will grow, they will marry, they will have children, they will age, and then they will die. They will die. So they are the three groups of people. And it is that third group of people, the normal people or the natural people, that will begin repopulate the earth during the millennial kingdom. Most of the people, by the time the Battle of Armageddon is over, on the earth will have been dead. They will be killed. Okay? However, there will be a remnant. There will be a group of people left. And that group of people that survives the tribulation will be the ones who begin to repopulate the earth. Now, there's billions of people on the earth at this point in time. And when the word speaks of a few people or not a whole bunch of them left, it could easily mean a half a million, 1 million, 2 million people. Now, you understand, if you get that many people in a paradise environment, that they can very quickly have children and repopulate the earth very quickly. And if you can imagine that they're going to be doing that over the next 1,000 years, how many people will be on the face of the earth by the time Satan is able to go to the four corners of the earth to gather together that last deception to come against the camp of God? A lot of people, right? So that's where the people will come back to repopulate the earth. If you take your Bibles and go to Isaiah, please. Remember, I taught you that one of the keys in working this subject is to study phrases like judgment, inheritance, kingdom, day of the Lord, in that day, these sort of things. They all many times point to this administration in which we're speaking of now. In Isaiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 9, we read, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." See, and again, this phrase, the day of the Lord, most of the time is talking about that millennial reign. A few times it is talking about the eternal kingdom that's going to be set up after that, but most of the majority of the time it's speaking of this period of time. Isaiah 13:9 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." This is some of the thing that's going to happen during that great tribulation period. "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." It's not going to be a nice time. "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance of the pride to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Verse 12, look at it very carefully. "I will make man more precious than fine gold, even a man that the gold wedge of Ophir." I will make man more precious than fine gold. What that reads in the New International Version and other versions, to give you a clearer understanding of this, is, "I will make man scarcer than pure gold, more rare than the gold of Ophir. It will be harder to find a man than it would to find pure gold at this period of time, because that's how many people will be annihilated off the face of the earth. That's the great change that the earth is going to go through, and the great wars and battles that are going to be fought throughout all of the earth during this latter part of the tribulation period. And that's what God says. So there will be men left and women left, but they will not be as plentiful as there are now. The word says that it'll be harder to find a man than it is to find pure gold. Now please go back to Zechariah chapter 14. And I'd like to look again at verse 17 and show you something I think is interesting. Zechariah 14, verse 17. You have to understand, this is the future. This is what's going to happen in the future. That we're going to be here on the earth with Jesus Christ setting up the millennial kingdom. This is our future. We're going to be part of this. The New Living Translation again of Zechariah 14:17 reads, "And any nation anywhere in the world that refuses to come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, will have no reign." Will have no reign. God's way of dealing with disobedience, rebellion, stubborn nations who do not want to conform to the new administration that Messiah brings in will be to punish them with the absence of rain. To punish them with the absence of rain. And I taught you Thursday night, just how long do you think a country can go without rain? Even the greatest technological countries can only go, they only have so much water in reserve. That's why I told you that I don't believe that the government and administration that Jesus Christ comes to bring in the millennial kingdom is going to come in and happen overnight. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be implemented over a period of time, and the countries and the peoples and that are left in the world are going to be given the chance to either conform to the new administration and embrace it and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, or to be snot-nosed, hard-headed, stubborn and say, we don't want no part of you. I made reference to the Muslim people. Can you see a Muslim going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles? Be a hard thing to do. But I think that perhaps it may be some Muslims might survive the tribulation period, whether they're over there or different sections of the world, or some Buddhists, or some other type of people that don't believe in Christianity. You see, there's going to have to be a retraining. There's going to have to be a cleansing. There's going to have to be an acceptance of the Lord Messiah, and he's going to have to come in with his administration, and these people are going to have to understand that if they don't conform, that they don't see that this is God's King, God's Son, God's Messiah, that they're just going to die. That's the way it's going to happen. This is the day that's spoken of where Jesus will rule with a rod of iron, a scepter of iron. See? He will rule the nations of the world. I'd like you to go to Genesis chapter 7 now. And I'd like to take a little bit of time this morning with you. We could take a lot of time on a lot of these notes and develop each one of these aspects of the millennial kingdom, but I'd just like to give you an overview, which I think is an interesting point to bring up. In Genesis chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, we read, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation." Verse 2 says, "Of every clean beast thou shalt take by sevens, the male and the female, and every beast that are not clean by twos, male and female. Of the fowls also of the air is by sevens, the males and the females, to save and keep alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made I will destroy from off the face of the earth." Here, beginning in Genesis and working this through the scriptures, you will begin to see a pattern that God has used. Throughout history, God has used rain, among other things, to cleanse the earth of evil. Either the overabundance of it or the lack of it. This indicates God's judgment and displeasure with the acts of His people. With the acts of His people. Go to Exodus chapter 9. In Exodus chapter 9, we have another record with regards to the usage of rain and God's judgment and displeasure with people. And it's talking about Moses, and he's confronting Pharaoh. And in Exodus 9, beginning on verse 18, it says, "Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such has not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even unto now." Look at verse 33. "And Moses went out from the city, from Pharaoh, and he spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the what?" It was just not hail, it was also rain. "And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants." Interesting thing that when the leadership has a hardened heart, that the servants like to follow their leadership and become little yes men and harden their hearts. "And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses." It just wasn't hail, it was also rain. Again, indicative of God's judgment and displeasure against evil. Deuteronomy chapter 11, please. Deuteronomy 11, beginning in verse 13. A good verse of scripture that we can still apply in our day and time. "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you" what? "The rain out of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather your corn and your wine and your oil, and I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that they can eat and be happy." Verse 16, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not" what? "Deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven, that there should be no" what? "Rain, that the land yield not the fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." Again, you see, God using rain, the lack of it, to show His displeasure and His judgment and punishment to a group of people that disobey and go worship some other god. You understand? It said in Zechariah, right? That's where we were. 14. "That if any nation would not come up to Jerusalem to worship, they would have no" what? "No rain." Look at 1 Kings chapter 7. Chapter 17. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab," and we all know that Ahab was not such a good guy, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, according to my" what? Right, and we all know that it was, what, 3 years or so, right? That it didn't, what? Rain. So, again, the lack of this rain, God's judgment, God's punishment upon a nation, a people, and the leadership of their people that do not conform with His Word. There are many more examples if you want to take in concordance and work this through the Scriptures. However, I feel this is sufficient to show you that the lack of rain or the overabundance of rain is a result of man's sinful nature and God's chastening and righteous judgment upon him. You must remember that during the millennial reign and the millennial kingdom, there will still be mortals living here on earth during this period of time. The mortals will be the survivors of the tribulation, those who live and survive through the tribulation. They will be mortals. The Old Testament believers and the ones who witnessed for Christ and were murdered because they didn't worship the beast will be part of the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just, in which once they take part of that, they will float on immortality to live forevermore. The other group of people that will be living here will be the gathered of the church, which will be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise first and become immortal at that point in time when Christ comes back the first time. Then we which are alive and still living will be changed and we will put on immortality at that time. The one will be resurrected, we will put on immortality. So the point is, there will be immortals living on the earth except for a group of mortal people. And those mortal people will be the people that have survived the tribulation period. Now, immortals and mortals populating, living together, cohabiting on the same earth. All right? You got it? It's kind of like Star Trek. But this is what the Word of God teaches, and this is what's going to happen. All right. Now, what you have to understand about the mortals that survived the tribulation period, that they'll be still living here during this period of time, and it is those group of people that will be repopulating the earth. You see? Because at that point in time, the immortals are not given in marriage. They do not repopulate the earth. The reference is made in the gospel somewhere with regards to that. And as is the nature of man today, like you and I, they, the mortals, will be prone to sin. They will be prone to sin. These mortals will still inherit the fallen nature of Adam. You understand? Because they will still be born, they will still live, they will still marry, they will still have children, they will still die. Their normal life cycle will continue. At this point in time, God does not wipe out death. There will be life and death in millennial kingdom rule where Messiah will be king. That life and death cycle will be part of those mortals' existence. And yet those mortals will still inherit the fallen nature of Adam. Romans chapter 5. See, life in many respects and areas will continue to go on the way it's going on now for certain people. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have what? That sin and that death will continue to enter into the world during the millennial reign of Messiah. Now you have to understand that Satan and his demons will be bound during that millennial reign for 1,000 years, the Bible teaches us. But because these mortals that live here on the earth during millennial reign of Messiah are here, those mortals will be subject to the fallen nature of man, and those mortals will still sin. Those mortals will still sin. They will still succumb to the weakness of the flesh that you and I fight and battle against, and they will still sin. The laws of Messiah will be enforced at that point in time. This is why Christ will need to rule the earth at that point in time with a rod of iron, with an iron scepter, because he must maintain law and order during his administration during this period of time. Thus, the laws of Messiah will be enforced, so crime will quickly be destroyed, and the nations of the world will be able to live in peace. Go to Psalm, please, chapter 2. Remember, if any nation refused to come up to Jerusalem, they get what? No rain. No rain. As I taught you Thursday night, there's going to be a period of time where people are going to have to conform and accept the new administration. Anytime you have a government change, an administration, there's always a period of time of transition where you will have some of the old school, so to speak, that were taught under the old ways, buck or rebel against the new system. The new system. I referenced this last teaching that they came out of Egypt, they got free, and what did they do? They walked around the mountain basically for 40 years. Until what? The old timers, what? Died off. It was just a cleansing because they didn't want to accept what God was bringing them. They wanted to stay stuck in their own old ways. They didn't want to move ahead with the revelation that God was showing them. They just wanted to stay put. So you know what happened? They died off, the younger generation, and a couple of them went into the what? The promised land. That's the way people are. That's why I believe there's going to be a period of time when Messiah sets up his rule that some people are just not going to hear it. And you want to know something? There are still some people today that would rather die than bow to Messiah. And I believe that in millennial kingdom, when it comes, that those people are going to die instead of bow to Messiah. That there will continue to be a cleansing of the earth, a cleansing of evil, of people's disobedience. I believe that some people will be so hard-hearted and will not be able to accept it, they'd say, if we're not going to get rain, I'd rather die. His administration will come in. That's why it says in Isaiah, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. His government will grow and grow and grow and spread and cover the entire earth. And everyone will conform. Now, whether it's a generation has to pass, I do not know, and I'm not teaching that. I'm just teaching you that there's going to be a period of time. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2. Now, you're going to be able to understand. Because Psalm 2 is speaking about this period of Messiah and what's going on and how Messiah is going to have to rule with an iron scepter and he's going to have to rule with a rod of iron to get the nations of the earth straight. Remember we read in Isaiah that there were going to be Jesus Christ was going to settle many international disputes. He will judge among the nations, plural, of the world, and he will settle many international disputes, and men will no longer learn to war because they're going to take their spears and beat them into plowshares and their guns and beat them into pruning hooks, something like that. You got it? They're going, in other words, take their money, they're going to take their weapons, they're going to take the defense budget that is spent in excess of the billions around the world, the hundreds of billions, I'd like to say. I don't know if I'm accurate, but a lot, okay? And that money will go to better causes. That money will go to the furtherance of God's word. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Just imagine to be able to take the defense budget and put it to good use, to feed the people of the world, to teach the people of the world God's word, to be able to stamp out terrorism, to be able to stamp out crime. This is going to take a period of time. Satan will be bound and his demons will be bound and there won't be no direct intervention. Man's imaginations are wicked still because of the fallen nature that he was born with and sin is there and he's prone to sin. Which is a very interesting point because you see that once Satan is removed out of the equation and once his demons are removed out of the equation, that man still sins. And still gets in trouble. And it is the flesh that gets him in trouble. His greediness, his selfishness, his complaining all the time. I want this, I want that, I don't have this, I don't have that. And he still gets in trouble. Which tells me an interesting thing. It tells me that if you are clean spiritually, demonic influence free is what I mean by that, and still get yourself in trouble, it's because of your selfish, greedy nature that you haven't crucified the flesh. And it is this nature that is going to kill some people in millennial reign under Messiah. Because they just will not conform. And they won't conform because they got a spirit of stubbornness. They won't be conformed because they got a spirit of pride. They just won't conform because they're graveyard, stupid, dead, hardheads, without any demonic influence at all. Because the demons and Satan won't be there. Now, you want to talk about free will and your right to live or die, and how you got to control your mind, and you got to read God's Word, and you got to study God's Word, and you got to pray to God, and you got to line your life up to live a holy life, and your accountability for that life. Now we talk. Because the fallen nature of man is a bad thing. And it's a weakness that's resident inside of every person. And it is that weakness that it is, if it's fed, and if it's left to go without putting a rope on it, it'll go. And it'll go as far as man's imagination will carry it. You know why I know that? Because there's coming a period of time where the adversary is going to be able to go out and find rebels on the earth. So much so that after 1,000 years of living in paradise with great abundance, with great peace, no wars, with great love, with great knowledge of God's Word, under Messiah's rule, so much so that after experience 1,000 years of that, he's going to have no problem finding a group of people that add up to, as the sand of the sea, innumerable, to come against the holy camp of God. What does he use? Where is the link? What's the weak link that he uses to find those group of people? Sinful nature of man. Something? See? He just exploits it. He knows how to get in and manipulate it, and he brings it to the next level. He finds that weakness that is resident within inside of man because of Adam's fallen nature, and he exploits it. It's remarkable. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? This is the psalmist is prophesying of this period of time. The kings, plural, of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Who's ruling during this period of time? Messiah is. But you know what some of the people are saying? Some of the kings, some of the rulers are saying? They're saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. We don't want nothing to do with this Jesus of Jerusalem and his God and his government. That's what they're saying. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Laugh. God's up there saying, oh, really? The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. See, it's going to be a time where he's ruined with an iron scepter, a rod of iron, and he's going to speak to them in his wrath. He's yet, have I set my king upon my holy hill, what? Zion. Who's the king that God sets upon his holy hill? Messiah. Christ. This is my king, this, and he's going to rule. I will declare the decree the Lord had said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, speaking to Jesus, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy what? Possession. Who are the heathen that God is going to hand over to Messiah for his inheritance? The mortals that survive the tribulation period and are now living in millennial reign. Because they will not want to conform to the new administration. Why? Because of the fallen nature of man and because of the previous things that they have been taught. Because you got to understand now, we're still dealing with a group of people who have been taught previous ways of doing business. They have grown up being taught that if you want something, you lie, you cheat, you bribe the right person. This is how you get involved. This is how we get things done in our administration. Okay? That's all going to take a period of cleansing. That's all going to take a period of change. That's going to take confrontation. That's going to take him reproving many, as it says in Isaiah. He's going to reprove many, chasten many. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Like a potter's vessel. How is Jesus going to rule in the millennial reign towards the nations of the world that are the mortals? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. There's not going to be none of this crap, I murdered my wife and I get off with 2 years. There's going to be justice. There's going to be lack of crime because he will quickly enforce the laws of God. They will have no reign for anyone who refuses to conform. Listen to this. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in what? He's instructing the kings. He's instructing the rulers, the judges of the earth. Watch out, because there's a period of time coming that when you tick off Messiah, he's going to wipe you away. So if I were you, I'd kiss the Son. I'd be nice. You better trust in him, because this is what's going to happen. The need for an iron scepter is due to the fact that some people who live in the millennial kingdom will still be natural people. And as such, they will be prone to sin just like any other natural man. Even though they will be living in a paradise surrounded by great abundance, some of them will still find things to complain about. Isn't that just like people? The more you give them, the more they what? They want. And they're just ungrateful and unthankful. There will be disputes in the millennial kingdom that will need to be settled. Please, Isaiah chapter 2. I have to move along here. But again, each one of these points that I'm showing you, I could take hours and hours and develop from the scriptures to show you the greatness of what we're going to have and what we're a part of. See, isn't this much more enlightening? And doesn't this give you much more depth than this is your hope? Jesus comes back and you're going to live forever. And I'm not mocking any of that. But what I'm going to endeavor to teach you now, I'm endeavoring to teach you your hope, part of your hope, what you have to look forward to. So it's not like a fuzzy thing, because after I die, some people think they go to heaven, and some people think that Jesus, they wake up and see Jesus, and after that, they don't know what to think. But the Word of God gives us much with regards to the future hope of Israel and of us, and the kingdom that is to come here on earth. Isaiah 2, please, verse 4. I'm going to read this to you out of the New International Version. And it's only because I think it'll communicate a little better. Speaking of this period of time, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. Why would the born-again believers in our administration have disputes when we come back with Christ? Why would the resurrection of the just, Abraham, Sarah, David, etc., have disputes? Now what? Why would Christ need to reign over us with a rod of iron as born-again believers who are going to do God's will? Why would he have to reign over Abraham, Sarah, and David with a rod of iron? As people who become immortals because they're born from above. He won't. You understand? But there's another group of people that are still going to be here. It is that group of people that he needs to rule over with a rod of iron. It is that group of people that he will settle and judge disputes between the nations and many people. The result, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, neither will they train for war anymore. How do we settle disputes around the world today? War. You know, how's George Bush settled the war on terrorism? He sets a war in Iraq. How does any company, any government settle a dispute? We're going to have a war. That's not the way it's going to be. They have a dispute. They have a land border argument. They have this. They have, you know what's going to happen? They're going to Messiah. Or Messiah is going to send an ambassador to that country to represent Messiah's government and speak with wisdom. Now, who do you think one of those ambassadors is going to be? Somebody, right? There's only the Old Testament saints, the people who died during the tribulation for the witness of Christ, and you. And if that's true, then there's going to be work to do, and we're going to be representing Messiah, His kingdom, and the Lord God Almighty to the nations of the world still in the next lifetime here on earth. We won't be casting out demons and binding Satan, but we will be dealing with the nature of man, the fallen nature of man, sin. And you can get yourself in trouble without any demons, just sinning. Micah. Micah chapter 4, please. Again, speaking of, now you can read the context to make sure that Nick's in the right frame of administration. I have, you do it yourself. I don't have time to hold your hand and walk you through it. But in Micah chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "The Lord," I'm going to read this to you out of the New Living Translation, "The Lord will settle international disputes. All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop and military training will come to an end." That's how Jesus is going to rule in the millennial kingdom. That's how Messiah is going to rule. He's going to settle international disputes. "But because of the fallen nature of man, this is why Satan will be able to make one last attempt against Messiah and against his kingdom. He will be able to deceive these natural people, people who repopulate the earth during the millennial kingdom time because of the fallen nature that we have inherited by from Adam." Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. So we see that Jesus Christ's government will be a good, a true, and honest, just, and godly government. We see that it'll be implemented over a period of time. We see that the earth at that point in time will be populated by immortals and by mortals. The Old Testament saints will be resurrected and put on immortality. The people who die for the witness of Christ and refuse to worship the beast will be resurrected and put on immortality. And those that are gathered together at the gathering that come back with Christ will be immortal. However, those that survive the tribulation period will be mortals. They will be on the earth and they will repopulate the earth during that millennial reign, that 1,000 years. We also see that the administration of Jesus is going to take some time to implement and to enforce. We see that some of the nations of the world, peoples and languages of the world, are not going to accept the new administration. They're not going to accept Messiah's rule. And so they're going to rebel. And as judgment, righteous judgment and punishment for those that rebel against Messiah, against the Lord and against His Christ, God says in Zechariah that He will send no what? Rain. Then we looked at rain and the significance of rain, and we saw where God uses rain to cleanse the earth of evil. And it is a sign of God's righteous judgment and sore displeasure with the acts and sin of wicked man. And we saw where God used rain 40 days and 40 nights with Noah, because He said, "In thee have I found righteousness." Doesn't say about Noah's kids. It said, "In thee have I found thee righteous." The kids just got to come along because Noah was righteous. Right? And then we saw where He gave in the Old Testament instruction that if you obey the Lord thy God, you'll get the beginning rain, you'll get the latter rain, and everything's going to be good. But if you turn aside and you go worship some other god, or say that some other god is the right god and this isn't the right way, you're going to get what? No rain. No rain. We saw where Elijah prayed, it didn't rain for X amount of years. Okay? And we see how Jesus will still continue to settle disputes because of this mortals. That sounds like a bad. These mortals that will be living on the earth. That's us right now. Revelation 20 verse 7 says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." So what period of time is this talking about? It's talking about the end of Messiah's kingdom reign here on earth, where their temple will be in Jerusalem, where the Feast of Tabernacles will be, where people have to come to worship, where Jesus had been ruling with an iron scepter. When this 1,000 years are expired, when it's over, when the administration's done, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the what? See, so by this time, mortal man will have had 1,000 years of living in paradise conditions to repopulate what? The earth. Who knows how many people are going to be on the earth during this period of time? Because people have struggled and repopulated the earth under very adverse conditions. Remember when the Israelites were in captivity for Egypt? What did they do? They just had nothing else to do, so they had kids. Right? Can you imagine when there's going to be a great abundance of food and water, and just everything's going to be ideal, and everybody's going to have enough to eat? People will just, there'll be a lot of people. But resonant inside of those lots of mortal people on earth is still the fallen nature of man. And when Satan gets out, he's not going to have a very hard time deceiving the fallen nature of man. And it's those mortals that will listen to Satan. How much time do I have, Stephen? That will listen to Satan. It might go something like this. Satan may come. He may say, "Look, we know that he has technology to stop rain. We know that he has instruments, electronic instruments, to control the weather. If you follow him, this guy should not be able to control the weather. He shouldn't suppress you and hold you down like this. I know where this machine is at. You come with me. We'll make a hit at Jerusalem. We'll go into the storage area where he keeps the weather machine so he can't control the rain. We'll take over that, and everything will go back to normal. We'll get rid of this Messiah." I don't know if it's going to happen like that. You understand? But I know that something's going to happen. And you know what the people are going to do? They're going to listen to him, and they're going to say, "Wow, yeah, let's get rid of this Feast of Tabern. I got to put the kids in the jet, and I got to go over there every year, and we got to do. Why should we do this? Why should the nations of the world give bounty to them, give riches, give tribute to Messiah?" You understand? He's going to come out like that. And he's going to find no problem grabbing a whole bunch of people. The Word of God says, the number of whom is the sand of the sea, to deceive. What did Satan use to deceive those people? The fallen nature of Adam inside of them. See it? That's why we've got to control our minds, and we got to keep our minds straight on the Word of God, or, you know, you go off. And they went up to the breadth of the earth, from on the breadth of the earth, and they campused the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from the God out of heaven and destroyed them, devoured them. We don't get to fight anything. God protects His Messiah, His kingdom, His people. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented night and day forever and ever, which just means a period of time. Doesn't mean forever and ever, because there will be an eventual destruction of the adversary. He will burn into nothing. He will burn into nothing. That's part of the millennial kingdom. And he's able to do that because of those people that are mortals in the millennial kingdom. See, the eternal kingdom, call it what you want, once that comes in, after the judgment, second resurrection, white throne judgment, after that comes in, there will be no mortals living there. There will be no fallen nature of man living there. You understand? Everything will be completely ideal, perfect. So, to think that everything's going to be completely ideal, perfect in the millennial kingdom is wrong. And I probably alluded to that in my previous teaching, because I didn't understand as I continue to work the subject. Because there will still be people and still be sin available. It'll be great, it'll be paradise, don't get me wrong, but it's not going to be 100% perfect. It will not be 100% perfect until God is here, and He is their God. He wipes away all tears. There's no temple with that. God gives light, etc., etc., etc. Now, I want you to look at verse 6 of Revelation 20. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Why will there be a need on this earth during that 1,000-year period to have priests of God and priests of Christ here on earth? And that's where we'll pick it up next time we get together. Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for the clear-cut teaching on it. And thanks, Father, for the great hope that you set before us. And Father, that everyone who hears this teaching, is my heart that it would motivate them, Father, to speak your truth, to show the greatness of what you have in store in future. And that today people have a chance to have this, Father, because of the blood of Christ. But we need to speak out and be witnesses of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.